on the technology innovation agency base. Just a nutshell, 5 minutes, we capture. Then we'll take it from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. On the Technology Innovation Agency item, we here representing the Director General of Science and Technology, who is also not able to attend today because the department is hosting the NSTF Awards this evening and is attending to matters related to that. We have worked on this on this bill. I think it's been a year now, and we've gone through a very extensive public consultation process. We've consulted most of the affected stakeholders who responded to the gazetting of the bill for public consultation. Basically, what we're proposing with this bill is the establishment of the Technology Innovation Agency, which is a funding agency that is going to attempt to close what we call an innovation chasm. This is the chasm that exists between research that is performed at our research institutions, including universities, and the commercialized products and services. We in South Africa have a gap in that innovation chain that we characterize as a department as the innovation chasm. And this gap has, we've seen it as having three characteristics. It's a funding gap, it is a skills gap, and it's a culture gap. And we're putting a tier in place to try and holistically address this gap by putting resources in the system to fund technology development to build the necessary skills and to also educate the scientists about entrepreneurship and the benefits for commercializing technology. When we move to the bill itself, the bill tries to articulate the powers, the responsibilities, and the establishment of the agency. It talks to the putting in place of the board. It talks to the putting in place of the right management structure, including the executive. It talks to the purpose of the agency, and it really talks to the establishment of this jurisdiction person to be known as the Technology Innovation Agency. In short, Chair and members, that's what the issue of the establishment of the technology agency is about.
Thank you very much. What the agency said, a member on the cross consultation, on cross consultation, we have actually felt that there might be no need for public hearing. And then the NA has had public hearing. When you look at the list of consultations at the back of the bill by the department, I think this is no doubt that there was indeed some extensive involvement of the public. Now, I want to find out from the different parties if, when you look at the bill, if there's anything that you want us to actually, that you want to question on the bill, different parties, if there's anything that you want us to actually better engage on before we actually deal with it stop by stop.
Nothing
looks like. I see all my things.
I
just suggest you have to say
something. No, no, no. I was just wanting to. I was going to support that to join both of us.
Thank you. But is there anything substantive in the bill itself that any party would want to raise? I don't see any hand. It means, therefore, that there's nothing substantive that you want to raise. And therefore, we will take the bill talk by talk. But before that, I will read the motion of desirability. The bill, Technology Innovation Agency Bill, B49B of 2007. I think we must go to 2008. We must go to 2008. To provide for the promotion of development and exploitation in the public interest of discovery, invention, innovations, and improvement. And for that purpose, the Government Technology Innovation Agency to provide for its power and duties and for the manner in which it must be managed and controlled, and to repeal an act and to provide for matters connected therewith. And that a bill refer to the committee taken as the base. Agree? Fine. Then we should go through the bill clause by clause. I'll put before the committee clause number one, which is the definition. We agree with those definitions.
Before going to clause number one,
yeah?
are we correcting B49B 2007
to 2008 to see the amendment? Yeah, I think we should agree to it. It's technical, but yes, we must agree to it.
Yeah, Chair, I'm just trying to think now when the bill was in the NA, was it marked 2007 or 2008? I'm not too sure. Perhaps the department...
In fact, the bill itself says the Act of 2008. I think that doesn't mean. The bill itself says here, the short title, the Act is called Technology Innovation Agency Act 2008. The one in front of me, the government, yeah. Can be helped by the partner.
We, went through the state law advisors, and we got the final bill that was certified and taken to through our portfolio committee processes in 2017. So we will be advised of the. On the right wording.
We have a state law advisor here. Why do we have two bills? One of them, the one that I have here, B49B, says 2008. And I'm told there are bills that are in 2007. Why the confusion?
Thank you, Chuck. My name is Kumele Lengema from the Sector Advisor. Actually sending in for my colleague, Ms. Lufundo. I also have a bill with me which she submitted to me as a B49-2007. But I need to convey that currently there was a misprint or there should be a bill that is looking at heavy 2008.
But what should then this bill be called? Can we call it 2007 when we pass it now in 2008 May?
It should be a 2008
bill. Are we not supposed to work from the same law in 49 and can it be changed? On the outside, it says 2007. But in the inside, it says 2008. Inside, on the short title, it's 2008. But on the top cover, it's the same deal that we have. The same deal. So I'm saying that we should change the 2000, maybe amend the 2007. We'll come to it when we talk to the short title. It has got to be 2008. It can't be 2007. Once we finalize it, same blood type. I don't see. The country in 2008. Mind you.
The bill takes the year which it is passed on and deliberated on, so the bill should be 2018.
Thank you. Clause number one. According to your income, the short time. So that we delay. We will amend it according to your income, the short time. So that there is no confusion. Clause
number
two. I told her, this is very difficult.
Can I just be excused for 1 minute? I just want to go and check on the problem of the NA in ourselves. What is the question?
No, absolutely. Whatever the case may be, we are starting this bill this year and the got to 2008. I'm saying we will start this 2007. But when we finalize it in 2008, it becomes a 2008 bill. It can be a 2007 budget. That's I agree 100% with the state advisor there. What are the departments?
Thank you. We agree with your conclusion, and that is that it was tabled in Parliament in 2007, and it was first considered by the Portfolio Committee in 2007, and therefore it picked up that year's title. But when it acted, it will become a 2008 Act. So I think it's really a question of amending the number in due course.
Those one. On definition?
Agreed.
Agreed. On clause 1. Clause 2. Establishment of the agency?
Agreed.
Clause 3. Object of the agency?
Yes, agreed.
Clause 4. Powers and duties of the agency?
Agreed.
Clause 5. Support of the agency?
Agreed.
Clause 6, disqualification from the membership, from membership.
Agreed.
7, removal from office and vacation of office.
Agreed.
There's only one voice that I'm hearing.
Yes, yes.
I don't know whether other people are.
Some people thinking. Are unhappy about the thing.
But for the Maseko, is unhappy about the thing.
Mr. Chief, we were suggesting that Mr. Chief was going out of the if you're surprising that the leading advisor cannot even say to us, yes, it needs to be done, it is in 2006. No, in 2007, it was not the fact that it is in 2006.
Don't try to make me, I know the correct procedure.
Oh, then you know
the I am saying the procedure is what we are doing now. If there's any problem with the problem with procedures, I think that this is of your own problem. The procedure, the correct one, is what we are doing now. And we try to explain that. He has said the bill started in 2007, and that's why we've got 2007 there. It has been finalized in 2008, and therefore, it has got to be a bill passed in 2008. It cannot be 2007. I thought that was just the APC's of procedures in Parliament. Really. And so far, I'm saying anybody does not understand that, we cannot be responsible for this.
It's not that I don't understand. I thought the intervention is
better than
this. You
no, I think we're just becoming impossible. We're on clause 6. You can excuse yourself if you want. Clause 6.
Agreed.
Clause 7.
Agreed.
8.
Agreed.
9.
Agreed.
10. 11.
Agreed.
Twelve, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, the short time.
Yeah. actually.
Well, the short term is actually correct.
2008, yes. Yeah.
So I meant the one on the outside.
Yes.
See, as it stands here inside the bill on the short term is correct.
Yes, correct.
Because it's in 2008.
I do my answer now.
The report then of the committee would be that the selection of the location of the region, I think it was in 2008, yeah. Having considered the subject of the Technology Innovation Agency bill, Bill B 49B 2008. As a Section 75 bill referred to it and specified by the joint taking mechanism as Section 75 bill, report that it has agreed to the bill without proposed amendment. Agreed? Fine. He's taking off the bill. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I think we must agree. We don't know when the bill will be scheduled in the House. We will be advised by Honourable Suleiman. And my suggestion will be that we just make a statement on the bill unless members still form that there's a need for a debate on the bill, as decided by you, Honourable Member. Honourable.
Sir, this bill is in the
small country.
I propose that we make a statement.
Is that the opinion of the committee?
Yes.
We'll make a statement on the bill.
Yeah.
We will advise as to when the statement will be done, and we will advise as to who will make the statement. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Statement of the bill. We will now go to the second item of our agenda. You ran away, madam. Now you're coming back with your computer
No, sir, I was going to take my place as which week, whether it's 2007
or 2008. We have got, each one of us has got a package that will come from the Department of Science and Technology. And I hope you receive it in advance. Eh?
No, we didn't.
Can we remember the party?
No, I didn't receive it. Did you receive it?
Yeah, I think what is important is that...
What's the time?
We need to try to check our teaching rooms as regular as possible.
No, I'm from my teaching room. I'm from my teaching room.
Can we adjourn for some 5 minutes? So that we can get to see this thing. Let me think adjourn for 5 minutes.
Okay. I'm not going to.
Zero wave is over. Zero wave is appointed. We'll pray for a Russian Aribo. Russian Aribo. The pray for the zero wave is appointed.
Oh,
Okay, can we restart? Let me see. Our second item on the agenda, as we indicated earlier on, is the briefing on this board. The department will tell you that there's this board that has been there, but this mandate is ending in June, that is the need to appoint a new board. Now, law says there must be some consultation, I think, before an appointment is actually done. It is not with consultation, but it will be after consultation. The legal guy would understand what it is. Okay, good.
Thank you. We are humbled that the chair and the members have allowed the officials to do this presentation on behalf of the minister and the deputy minister. And once again, we would like to tender their apologies for not being able to come in front of you and make this presentation. You've met the other team that was supporting our technology innovation agency activity. I'm going to introduce Ms. Nozipho Buthelezi, who is our general manager for Chief Director for Governance. She is from the part of the department that was responsible for assisting the minister with these processes. She is going to take you through the process and this verbal presentation of the nomination of the board.
Thank you. Thank you, Bonnie, and thank you, Chairperson and members. Hence, I could start by introducing the process by saying that the DSC is quite confident that we consulted broadly, that we followed an open process, and that we're tabling before you today the 10 proposed members for the NRX board. So I'll just briefly take you through the process that we followed. As I indicated, that we believe that we followed an open process. We issued a call for nomination through three national newspapers, and we also consulted the higher education institutions in our call for nomination. We then, as it is required in terms of the National Research Foundation Act, that the minister must set up an advisory panel. A panel was set up that then finalized the program. We followed specified criteria, or the panel followed specified criteria, as it is indicated in the Act. In broad terms, they looked at the technical skills in terms of the work that is done by the NRF. Those criteria are listed in terms of the Act, that you need to look at technical, technology management, technology and research, business, public affairs, and civil society in terms of the representation of skills. We also looked at, the panel also then added additional criteria. And those additional criteria were meant to, in broad terms, look at the national priorities in terms of representativity. So the panel then looked at gender representativity also in terms of race, and also then added the third criterion, which looked at general ability in terms of management abilities and financial management. In terms of the functions of the board, this board, like the board before it, it has a responsibility for oversight. So in other words, it will basically be the eyes and ears of the minister. And it will have to ensure compliance with legislative transfers, in particular the CFMA. Then in terms of, just to briefly give you an indication, there are 10 proposed members of the new board. Three of those members were members of the previous board. Now, this is a result of the fact that we have to look at continuity So you'll find that the proposed current chairperson, Professor Bozoli, also acted in the previous board. Mrs. Chief Kabashe also was also in the previous board. And Professor Nyokong was also in the previous board. So I think, briefly, that's basically what we put in before you.
Thank you very much. On a brief, we listen attentively. We have heard the process that has followed. And we still remember that there are some questions that we want to ask.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, Chairperson, my question is very straightforward. I just want to ascertain from the department, because apparently this board should must be broadly represented of the following criteria, and it says there, tertiary education, business, agriculture, so on. Now, we don't have that kind of information, but is the department quite happy that all these names have been submitted to us to fall in line with the set criteria that's here?
Are you as a department satisfied that the panel has done a good job? The question is asked.
Yes, the department is satisfied. The criterion that the member is mentioning, I probably didn't mention in my presentation, it is a requirement in terms of the Act, that is a representation in terms of the sector, so it was considered.
Thank you. Honorable, you know, maybe because you see, you've still not these members have actually received this news now. Maybe it is important just to highlight, and they can see, they can read, I'm sure, these members have gone through others. But if you just touch a little bit on the qualifications as they appear there, not official as they appear there.
Thank you, sir. Professor Pozzoli, that is the first proposed member, is currently a deputy vice chancellor at the Vets University. She has a digital degree and a master's in A studies, political science, BA in honors, BA in political science and geography. The second candidate is Professor Johannes Fideki. He is from the University of Cape Town. He has BCom honors, Masters of Philosophy in Economics, Politics, a PhD in Economics. The third candidate is Mr. Chief Kabashe. He is a special advisor in the Office of the Chairman at ESCOM. He has a Masters in Urban and Regional Planning, Program for Executive Development, Strategic Management, Finance, Non-Financial Managers, and a BA degree. The fourth candidate is Dr. Namane Makau. He's a business executive. He has B.Ed. from Harvard, Med. From Rau, and B.Ed. from UNICEF. The fifth candidate is Dr. Ivan May. He's a CEO for Intellectual Capital Corporation of Africa. He has a BSc and a BSc honors, an MBA, a network sciences degree, and these are various abbreviations of various fields in natural science. I don't know if I should copy it right now, second three. Thank you, Jefferson, but I'm confident the panel did know all of them. Professor T. Nyokong is a professor of medicinal chemistry and nanotechnology from Rhodes University. He also has a BSc in chemistry and biology, a master's in chemistry, and a PhD in chemistry. Mr. Chikurwa Nekianda is an executive director for human resource and administration from the Agricultural Research Council. He has a BCom and a BCom honors. Professor Pamela Santilli is a professor in it's an energy efficiency. It's an electrical engineering thing. And Jim Noel is also a distinguished professor in engineering. He has a bachelor's degree in engineering, a master's in engineering, and a PhD. Dr. Vinit Tile is a senior lecturer at the University of Pretoria. He's got a BA honors, a master's in literature and a doctorate. Ms. Nuzugoyo Gwana is a managing director from Ubuntu Development Consortium. She has a BA in social sciences and honors in psychology, a postgraduate diploma in rural development, and a master's in sustainable development. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There you are, honorable member. I saw on Martino's hand up.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the presentation from the department. But I just need a clarity on the initial starting of the process, whether it was not necessary for the committee to be started yet, or the chair of the committee, since we are hearing this for the first time. And it seems the department wants us to endorse.
Thank you, Chair. I think in terms of public participation, I indicated initially that the department is of the view that the process was open. The process was open in the sense that we have to follow the legislative prescriptions in terms of what process to follow and how to follow it. The requirement is that we need to involve the public. So how we involve the public is basically placing a call for proposals in national newspapers. So that allows members of the public to nominate the people that they deem fit to participate in the NRF board. I think the newspapers that we used was the Sunday Times, the Melbourne Guardian, and the City Press. Initially, that was the start, and then the public will nominate as many people as they want. The advisory panel will then shortlist from the nomination.
Just a follow-up. That's what I understand. But the shortlisting process, the members of the select committee to be part of the process.
I want to rephrase the question. What, in actual fact, what we would like to know is what is the act saying, the processes that we need to follow, because we need to look at in terms of separation of powers as well. Does the act say the minister must do the final appointments? I think that will guide us as far as that question of my choice is concerned.
Yes. The act says that the minister must appoint the panel, and the minister appointed the panel, which was chaired by the Director General of the Department of Justice.
But I'm sure it says also that before appointment, there must be interaction in Parliament. And this is the interaction. That's why I said in the beginning that the minister must appoint not in consultation with us, but after consulting. He just consults with us and say, look, this is what we have done, you know. And then finally he's got the prerogative to appoint whoever is being fit, as long as he has touched base with the portfolio committee and the select committee.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get a sense, how many people have actually interviewed, yes, before we come to the shortlisted people? And how many have applied? How many were nominated? How many were nominated? How many of you are so that for us to come to this end?
Chair members, I have about 100 students here. These are the students that we received in the first phase after the after the adverts in the newspapers, and we then shortlisted the panel shortlisted and came up to the 10.
No, but I was saying that the interview, where the supposed to interview.
No. There were no interviews. They screened the figures.
Oh, they just screened. So they screened only the text.
No, they screened all the figures
and
came to the text.
I see. Okay. I don't remember. Yes, ma'am.
No, I want to come back to that. They indicate that it was advertised in Sunday Times, Canadian Guardian, and now, Jefferson, if you check these newspapers, they are only for the high mobile people who are learning. Me and I'm telling so it's a meeting this time. It means we're deprived of that opportunity. But doesn't it is government policy that you must advertise on four national newspapers? So you call your national newspapers, then it becomes your staff, because then it starts through their mother body also. It comes also to Cape Town, but you find it becomes Cape Times inside or Cape Acre. And then your Soweten is distributed throughout the country. We found a copy in Zambia. My daily son, Mam Kobozi, that I can afford the Jefferson. They did not advertise in this newspaper. They only targeted the learned people, about doctors and about professors, because what are they buy funny kind? Funny kind, by the way, is expensive. I can't even afford it. You know, that's why I buy Sunday well. It's very expensive. So people know that it's very high English, Jefferson, they buy Sunday kind. And those that want to read propaganda, then they will buy million cadmium. And I thought at some stage government was not advertising on million cadmium. I don't know where to this case. That's why most of the police in government is say four national newspapers. So now who was looking, why did they advertise on these expensive newspapers and they marginalize us who buy games and Jefferson?
Why do you marginalize the other people? Pass one, pass all.
Read
the pass one, pass all. Pass one, pass
all. I think the department attempted to reach as many people as possible. If I remember correctly, I think members may correct me if I'm wrong, but I think government policy requires advertising in the government gazette, and it lists at least one national newspaper. So I think we've gone overboard a bit because we targeted three national newspapers in addition to the government gazette.
Chair, can I just continue with that? And this comment is with due respect to the members. But the NRS is a national research foundation, and it's looking at developing a cohort of highly educated science and technology experts in the country. And therefore, the Act says that, prescribes that the members of the board must be persons who have achieved distinction in the field of research, technology management, business, public affairs, or civil society. And I think we try to reach as far field in these fields as possible. But I think it remains that there is this distinction that the Act asks to go upstairs, we look for members to be on the MRS board. And I think the broadness of the capabilities that we've been able to attract to the board does cover the interest, the societal interest as well. We have a few members here that are directors of, one lady who's a director of, managing director of Ubuntu Development Consortium. And we're hoping that by bringing those people in, we'll be able to take care of the broader societal concerns in these areas.
Okay, I think we heard what you are actually saying. But once you are saying about at least you must know that it must be those people who are highly educated and right. But at least the grassroots also do know some of the people who are highly educated, who they might want to nominate. You see? And if they are not given an opportunity to nominate, it might be discrimination. You know? And we see it for that. I think that's the point of value home, but we're not really pushing the process. We think we've done a very good job. Members, is there anything before we actually want to answer this? Thank you very much. I think members are satisfied. If they're quiet like this, I know they are satisfied that we have followed all the processes that are supposed to be followed. We want to think that we're going to go on appointing these people, and we want to in advance wish them well in this very, very important national duty. This Bozoli, what does it follow? It is now an empty chapter in the investment. Bozoli. It's acting chapter.
Yes, chapter.
I see. It will depend on the minister whether I want to confirm the name. I see. Okay. No, fine. Sorry?
Yeah, just one question, it's a procedural one. I'm not sure that what is the principal action. Must the recommendations of the committee go straight to the minister in both houses, or must we rectify this in the house? I'm not too sure. I'm just asking.
Does any legal mind know what the procedure would be? I'm not sure myself. Fortunately, that's what our legal mind is. Parliamentary advisor. You see why we said we must remove you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I will have to confirm that, but just from the letter that the minister sent, it says the minister in consultation with the committees of the NA and the NCOP, in which case it's the committees and not the houses that makes that it has to be consulted. And if that's the case, it doesn't need to go to the house because it's the committees. But if it says consult either the NA or the NCOP, the decision has to be made by the House. After the committee has looked at it and located it, it has to report to the House. So I'll just look at what it says, whether it says the committee or it says committee chair. So it doesn't need to go to the House.
Yeah, I think for now we are saying we have looked at what the department has actually said, you know. And we agree with the process that they actually followed. As to the procedure from here onward, we will have to verify ourselves and follow those procedures as the law might actually want us to follow. I think that's where we must make it up. Once again, thank you very much. Science and technology, bon voyage to Pretoria. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just make the minister ask that we invite the members to our side vote this Friday at 9 o'clock.
When?
This Friday.
find it.
Yes.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Yes.
Unfortunately, we have another meeting ourselves in the NCOB. So you see, there's a problem. We'll be there in spirit.
We want our own
coffee.
We want our own
coffee.
Not joint coffee.
Okay. Fine. Thank you very much. And tell the minister that we accept this nomination.
Thank you, babe.
I see the liaison from officer in the family
too. Yes, sir. We were just saying, in line with the invitation, in that case then, we would appreciate it if the committee could just make an arrangement for the gift packs of members to be collected.
From where? From you?
We will talk. We just wanted to place it on the record so that we do not have what we had previously, Chair would know, with the other event that we had. So just as a form of goodwill and correcting that oversight that happened, that we would really want to make sure that members will get the key tag.
Thank you very much. You are all those members, there are still one or two housekeeping matters we've got to attend to.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've submitted an apology and I don't see it recorded yet.
Thank you.
So I think we should go back and find out everything. So I think we should go back and find out to check where it is landed, because we can be sure about it. Page 2. Page 2. Page 3.
Is not just standing there as if government transfers money.